The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord. My name is Father Jorge, and before I tell you a little bit more about who I am, I'm going to tell you a little secret, but you have to promise me you won't tell Father Ricky. You promise me? She said no. She said, you're going to tell Father Ricky? Okay, she's going to tell, I already told him, no worries. Okay. So Father Ricky and I met him when I was a seminarian a few years ago, and him and I have very similar personalities, they say. And but people don't know we're close, so when somebody that knows both of us, you know, they come to me and say, Jorge, do you know Father Ricky? So then I say, maybe, because I don't know what's about to happen next. It could be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. I don't want to know. I want to make sure I'm safe, you know? So I said, maybe. And they're like, well, you remind me so much like him. You have the same personality as him. And then I tell them, but I'm the better looking one. So don't tell that to Father Ricky, okay? And also, obviously, the more humble one, of course, okay? All right. So my name is Father Jorge. I am a priest for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. But before I got to priesthood, I'll tell you a little about me. I was born and raised in Mexico City in 1996. Born and raised in Mexico City. I am 29 years old, and you are looking at the second youngest priest in the entire Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Second, thank you. And the best looking one too, okay? Only second to my classmate, which he's a few months younger than I am. I was born and raised in Mexico City. I grew up there. And then in 2008, when I was just 12 years old, I came from Mexico to this great country seeking a better life, seeking the American dream. Opportunities that I wouldn't have in my home place. I am the middle of three children, and my father left us when I was a little kid, so it was really hard for my mom to take care of three kids, technically four because I ate like two. So she came here seeking a better life. I came here speaking zero word of English, only knowing the word blue, and I arrived to Oxnard on April 4 of 2008. Anybody familiar with Oxnard? Yeah, some of you, yes. There I attended, I went to public high school, Oxnard High School, and also I started to get involved in my faith. I attended Santa Clara Church in Oxnard. Beautiful church. And it is there where I first started to encounter my vocation to the priesthood. It is there where I wanted to say yes to the Lord. The gospel today tells us, let your yes say be mean yes and your no be no. But I was about to enter seminary right after high school, but I decided that I needed a little bit more life experience. After all, I was just too young. I wanted to maybe date. Maybe the Lord was calling me to be a good, holy husband. Who knows, right? So then I went to Thomas Aquinas College, seeking more life experience, where I ended up getting a degree in liberal arts, a BA in liberal arts. There, finally, my vocation solidified. And then as soon as I graduated there in 2018, 3 months later, I entered seminary formation to begin my studies to become a priest. 7 long years of seminary formation. Finally, this past May 31st of 2025, at 10:13 a.m., I became a priest of Jesus Christ. And my priesthood is not for me, it's for you. It has been 8 great months of being a priest, but I'll tell you this. I thought that I was saying yes to the Lord, but I was putting conditions to my yes. I was telling him, I want to say yes to you only if this happens. My yes wasn't really a yes. It wasn't what the gospel was telling us today. And the way that I did that is by this. Before my diaconate ordination, now it has changed, where after diaconate ordination, you spend a few months at the parish so you can get experience, and then you get assigned either to that parish or to another parish for priesthood. When I ended up doing my diaconate at Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Santa Clarita, but when I got ordained, or before I got ordained a deacon, I told the Lord, Lord, you can put me anywhere you want, anywhere. Put me in Santa Maria, anywhere you want, except one place. I do not want to be in L.A. Anywhere but L.A. I'm saying yes to you, but not in L.A. So when I first got my letter as a diaconate for diaconate assignment, it said, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, Santa Clarita. I was so excited, was rejoicing. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. I had wonderful time there, beautiful time there. But when it came time to get my priesthood assignment, that is when the Lord really faced me face to face and said, Jorge, if you want to be a priest, if you want to be my priest, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. So you should have seen my face when I opened the letter for assignment to the priesthood. Resurrection Church in Los Angeles, California. That was tough. I mean, many people wonder what good can come out of Boyle Heights, for that matter. Let me tell you, so much good can come out of Boyle Heights. And I'm going to share to you a brief stories about my time so far, my 8 months of a priest so far of resurrection. And these are just my stories. I don't want to be political. I'm just sharing what I've encountered as a priest in my community with my people there. I arrived to Resurrection Church July 1st of 2025. As you know, and as the news says, the immigration rates were happening at that point. Upon my arrival, 1/3 of my parishioners were not coming to church. 1/3 of my parishioners were not showing up to Mass, either because they were afraid or whether because they had been deported. I did not have 1/3 of my parishioners that I could worship with them, that I could proclaim the gospel to them. And it got worse. It got worse. I can tell you, I've called the cops at least once a month in my parish. I'll tell you one story really quick of a 15, 16-year-old kid who was having a mental breakdown. The cops didn't show up for over 2 hours. And it was raining really hard. The kid was on the ground. He broke his father's nose. It was a terrible experience to witness as a priest. I felt powerless and not being able to help this kid going through a mental breakdown. I can tell you, my pastor, because we lack means, we don't have a budget for a confirmation director. So my pastor tells me, kiddo, you're going to be the confirmation director of a parish. And I said, me? Well, they don't teach you that at seminary. I didn't want it. Why can I teach confirmation kids? And I was afraid. I have to say, I was afraid. But little by little, these kids changed my life. I can tell you in full honesty, and you can go tell them that, okay? They have taught me what it means to be a spiritual father. They have taught me what it means to be a spiritual father. I have learned and walked with them. I have learned their painful stories that they have. These are teens who are trying to be just kids, who are not even adults. Most of them don't even have a parent in their household for whatever reason. Some of them have to endure the terrible consequences of gang violence in LA. Some others have to endure the painful situations with physical abuse and even sexual abuse. I just discovered recently one of the girls at Confirmation, she lost her father and a week later her brother because of gang violence, a week apart. Or I can tell you about another Confirmation student who his father passed away in December of 2024. And there's this kid that looks tough, that looks like, you know, it's hard to crack. But one day, before the one-year anniversary, this past December, he calls me and says, "Father Jorge, can I come talk to you? My father's anniversary is coming up, and I don't know what to do, and I feel safe talking to you." Perhaps that was one healthy relationship of a father and a son for a very long time for this one kid. I can tell you of my beautiful children at my school, who, though we lack a lot of financial means sometimes, we live by the providence of God, and these kids just smile and just have fun, and they don't wash their hands, and I yell at them for that. Wash your hands. But I can tell you also of other good things that are happening at Resurrection. I can tell you, like I shared with you, they are teaching me how to be a spiritual father. They are shaping my heart. They are shaping my life. They are shaping my ministry. Recently, I was looking at a lot of the couples, because in the Hispanic culture, they don't go to communion. And I, well, why is it? Well, because they're not married. Well, let's do something about it. That's why I get paid the big bucks. Let's do something about it. So we're going to be doing community weddings. And if you need to get married, why not? You can come to my community weddings. And I thought only 9 or 10 couples were going to show up. You know how many couples showed up this Friday? 35. Wow. 35. 35 couples. Yeah, you're clapping right now, but you should see all the work I have ahead. But it's with great joy, because my church, my community, the doors are wide open so that they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they can hear the love that Jesus has for us, so that they can teach me what it means to say yes. Let your yes be yes, and your no means no. After all, my dear brothers and sisters, we can only say yes because we follow after the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus will never ask of us nothing that he himself has not done. Jesus will never ask anything of you that he himself has not done first. So when he tells us in the gospel, let your yes mean yes, is because he himself said yes, and it was full yes. He didn't put any conditions, any restrictions, or he didn't question it. He said yes. It was through the disobedience of Adam and Eve that sin entered the world, that it broke our relationship with God. And after God, who kept looking for us and we kept rejecting him, he sent the prophets and the kings, and we did not listen. So then he said, I will send my son who will set everything right. So then Jesus himself came down and became like us in everything but sin. He grew up with Mary and with Joseph, the son of a carpenter, of nobody. And then he began his ministry at Galilee, at the wedding feast of Cana, proclaiming, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And then he healed the people. He forgave sins. To the blind, he gave sight. And to the mute, he gave speech. And above all, and more importantly, the way that he showed us his yes was by doing what he came to do from the beginning of time, so that he would pick up his cross, he would suffer to the way of Calvary, be nailed to the cross, become one with the cross, embrace it fully, and give his entire life for you and for I out of love, so that we can have eternal life. It is on the cross where he teaches us what it means to say yes. Let your yes be yes and your no mean no. That is why we are here today. That is why Jesus invites us. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And the reason why I'm sharing all these stories about my parish, and this is the catch, right? This week we began Together in Mission in the Archdiocese. And you are well aware of Together in Mission. We do it every year. I disliked it as a little kid so much because then Mass would be longer. But then I got to Resurrection Church, and then I got to see why Together in Mission is so important. Because without Together in Mission, my church community will not be open. Without Together in Mission, the doors of my church will be closed. Without Together in Mission, my kids who are in confirmation will not have a safe place where they can feel love. Without Together in Mission, I will not have a school where kids can be just kids and they can obtain a Catholic education that they deserve. Without Together in Mission, I will not be here. Without Together in Mission, I will not learn what it means to be a spiritual father in the way that I am learning to be. So my friends, first of all, and more importantly, I thank you for your generosity, for contributing every year to Together in Mission. Your generosity allows for my church to be open so that we can continue the mission of Jesus Christ to bring him and the gospel to all peoples. And as you are aware, now I am going to walk you through the process, but if you have already donated, thank you so much. On behalf of me, Father Jorge, my pastor, Monsignor John Moreira, who has been there for 43 years, he is now 84 and is still an active pastor. He is known as the Pope of East LA. So not Pope Leo, but the Pope of East LA thanks you. And any other church community that benefits from Together in Mission, we thank you for allowing us to continue in this mission. I am a baby priest, so this is my first time doing this envelope thing, so you might teach me along the way, okay? So I'm going to go up at the ambo, and then I'm going to walk us through the process. The ushers are going to come forward and help us, and then we're just going to go step by step, all right? And if I messed up, you tell me, okay? All right. This year, the parish goal for this community is $235,000 and a little bit more, $700 more, but $235,000. That is the parish goal for all of you here at Holy Family in South Pasadena. You are all aware of these beautiful envelopes that we get every year. First of all, what I ask you is pray for me. Pray for my kids, pray for my community, that we might continue to say yes to the Lord. If you are not ready perhaps today to give a contribution to Together in Mission, take this home. Pray about it. Talk with your wife, with your husband, and see how you can help. And you can bring it back anytime, either next week or in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks. We will make sure that this gets to the Archdiocese so that we can continue having church open, doors open. However, if you are ready to give today, we're just going to walk really quickly through the process that you already know. In the first box, the number one is where you make your pledge, and you have two options, either to do it monthly or to do it a one-time gift. It has different numbers there, but you can also, there's another option where it says other, to give any other amount. On number two, where it has the payment details, it is there where you will put your information, if it's a credit, debit card, or your automatic withdrawal. If you decide to give in form of a check, then please make it payable to Together in Mission. And lastly, number three, it is where you put your information, name, address, telephone number, in case the Archdiocese needs to reach you for anything. At the collection, the regular Sunday collection that you already give, you can put these envelopes in the collection, and then Tina will make sure that they get separated and then given to whoever needs to be sent to. Again, I thank you for your generosity. Thank you for letting me be here, for breaking bread with you, to worship with you. I tell you, it has been beautiful 8 months of being a priest, and I have a lifetime ahead of me. So pray for me and my community. God bless you, everybody.